Father, we come into your presence with thanksgiving. We come in the name of Jesus Christ, and we praise you, and we exalt you, and we lift you up. Father, we consecrate, set aside this time for your honor and your glory. And Father, may the words we speak and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you. This we ask in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen. Congregation, please stand. John chapter 4, verses 31 through 54.
In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat?
Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work.
Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest.
And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit into his eternal life. But both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
And here is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth.
I sent you to reap wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labor, and ye are entered into their labors.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that ever I did.
So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he should tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days.
And many more believed because of his own word.
And saith unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee.
For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country.
Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast.
So Jesus came again into Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick.
When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee and went into him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death.
Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye would not believe.
The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die.
Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth.
And the man
believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way.
And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth.
Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him.
So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house.
This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into the temple.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 6, please. I have had a sore, scratchy throat all day. I was on trial jury, grand jury, whatever. I do something. I sit and listen to cases. That's what I do. Sit in the court. Huh? It is fascinating because it's grand jury and I hear case after case after. Thank you. Yeah, it is fascinating. You hear today, I think we heard one DWI case, 3 drug cases, 1 robbery. Oh, that one we didn't get to hear. But it's just like you hear this and this and this. It's unbelievable. And it's like, you listen to the district attorney, but anyhow, I'm there the month of November. Timing is everything. I like to deer hunt, so let's schedule jury duty during November and December, Juana. But I have at least 2 days a week that I go Wednesday and Thursday, and so that's why. I thought I told you that. Now they're going to add additional days, because they lose some days during Christmas and Thanksgiving. So now they're going to throw a couple extra days in there as well. I'm thinking, oh, boy, that's nice. But it is interesting. I will say that for it. Anybody here ever served in a jury? Jim? You guys? Anybody do the grand jury thing? They say that's a lot more interesting than trial jury, and you hear all this stuff. And I'll tell you one thing. There's some people that got their lives kind of all messed up. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Let's start in 16. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And the first one we look at, it says, is a proud look. What you can simply summarize and say is God hates pride. And we started to talk about pride last week. We said some of the results of pride are shame. I'll give you a whole bunch more of those today, so I'll skip that. I have a lot of them. Then we talked about what pride was. It's an overemphasis or overattention on ourself. What is God's attitude about pride? He hates it. And why does he hate it so much? We gave you three or four points under that. It's a characteristic of Satan. It brings shame and dishonor. It's a stumbling block in our own personal life. It's hated because other sins we commit indicate that we have some kind of a need. But pride says, I have no need. Fourthly, then, we looked at what causes pride in a person's life. I mentioned a few. Self-centeredness. Not really. Sometimes it's a cover-up for feelings of inadequacy. We are given a position in life too young or before we're ready for it when we believe all the good stuff that people say about us. You better be careful about believing all the good things everybody says about us all the time. And then I think let me start right here with one more reason why we get prideful. We neglect the fact that God is the source of everything good that we have. I was watching a movie one time. I can't remember the movie's name. But anyway, the dad, they were getting ready to eat supper. And so the dad starts to eat, and the mom is looking at him. Don't you think you should stop and give the Lord thanks? So he looked at her kind of disgustingly, and he said, all right. He bows his head and he prays. So he says something like this. Well, Lord, I thank you for all this food, even though I had to raise it myself. And even I had to harvest it myself. See, that's really what pride is. It's we neglect the fact that God is the source of everything good that we have in our life. What do we have that is really worth having that did not come by the way of the cross? Our sins are forgiven because of Calvary. By his grace, we are cleansed of our sins. God is the source of everything good that we have, and by his grace and love and mercy. And when God is out of your life, pride gets in your life. The world doesn't think that they need God. They do not see God as the source of what really is good. When people step and embrace pride in their life, boy, they really have a serious problem. So, with the things that we've said last week and that little point there on we neglect the fact that God is the source of everything good. My next question, turn to Psalm 138, is this. What are the consequences of pride in my life? The first one is kind of obvious. It hinders my relationship to the Lord. That's kind of obvious. I cannot have a right relationship with God when he says that he hates pride. It says in verse 6, though the Lord be nigh, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. When we have pride in our lives, it hurts our relationship with the Lord. Secondly, and like I said, I have a lot of these, it hinders our relationship to other people. Let's go back to Psalm 10, verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. All right, it hinders our relationship with other people. We'll take advantage of others. We don't want to be around prideful people, I can tell you that. But also, it leads to contention. Go back to Proverbs for a minute. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. And that says, Only by pride cometh contention. So pride causes contention. And 28, 25, if you want to mark that down as well. The truth is, we are no better off than anybody else. We're no better than anybody. Take God out of our life, and what do we really have? Not anything. Pride hinders our relationship to other people. A third consequence is it blocks the blessings of God in our life. We know that God hates pride. We've already established that from Proverbs last week and this. So because God hates pride, it blocks the blessings of God in our life. It does something else. It hinders our effectiveness as a Sunday school teacher. It hinders our ministries, our work. Whatever we do, it hinders our effectiveness. We follow those that we believe in and we trust. And if a person is prideful, we see that they want to build themselves. It's hard to follow those people that want to build themselves. You show favoritism to people who build their ego, you're going to have a problem. Number 1, 2, 5. Pride can cause you to make foolish mistakes or to even fall. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride will cause you to make foolish mistakes or to fall. You'll stumble, be brought down. When you say things like, I can handle this alone, you're in trouble. I probably told you this sometime or another, but I remember visiting a gentleman in prison in Albany. And I was trying to encourage him to get the Lord in his life to help him with the situation that he's in and turn from his sin and ungodliness and embrace Christ. And his response to that was, I got myself in this mess, and I need to get myself out of this mess. You're right, you got yourself in that mess, that's for sure. But to say that I can handle this alone and I've got to get myself out of this mess, that is a foolish mistake. He should embrace Christ. Whatever, SF on my outline, whatever number that is. We shut down the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Satan gets you to do well so you won't trust God in your life. I know that God is gracious, but sometimes it comes. But when we see how well we do without God, we're in trouble. We start trusting our flesh. I don't need to pray and read my Bible like I used to. I can handle these things myself. I've got it all figured out. I do pretty good on my own. We get in trouble. It breeds prayerlessness, number G. I don't need to pray anymore. I'm full of pride. I'm full of myself. Why bother praying any longer? I can handle this. Pride breeds prayerlessness. I don't need God. A prayerless person doesn't keep his attention on God. And it's a sad thing. Are we in Proverbs? Yeah, we'll go back to, just mark down Psalm 10 and verse 4. Pride causes God to put you on the shelf. I mean, nobody really wants there. James 4:6, 1 Peter 5:5, Proverbs 15:25, Proverbs 12:3. Pride brings God's destruction. He hates it. Next, pride will ultimately bring shame. Proverbs 11:2. The worst consequence about pride is ultimately, if a person never deals with the sin of pride, it can keep them out of heaven. People say, I don't need God. That's the ultimate sin. You don't need the God who created you and who gives you breath to breathe. Well, a very foolish person says that, but you knock on people's doors or you witness to people and they say it to you all the time. Your unbelief is an act of pride, and you say you don't need God, the Savior or the Sovereign of the universe. You're adequate in yourself, you think. That's ultimately the worst consequence. What are the evidences of pride or the characteristics of a prideful person? First of all, they desire to be number one. We should desire to be the best that we can be. But our motive, I should be trying to better myself. You should try to better yourself. You should try to become a better Christian. I should try to become a better Christian. But I shouldn't desire to be number one all the time. You ever play ball with kids? Baseball, kickball. They want to bat first. And every inning, they want to bat first. They don't seem to understand, you know, if three people came up and three people made an out, the next person up is not the first one that batted. It's the fourth person in line, whoever that would be. No, they want to get right back up there and do it again because it's this, you know, it's all about me. They have the desire to be number one. What is another evidence? Continually they refer to themselves. Their three best friends are me, myself, and I. That's who they like the most. Thirdly, they want to be the center of attention. They can't take second place. They got to be number one. They've got to be the center of all the attention. The world doesn't revolve around me. The world doesn't revolve around you. It doesn't. Fourthly, seeking praise and compliments. We shouldn't seek those out. If they come, wonderful. But if they don't come, that's okay. If you ask the right question, you're going to get the right answer. You might be trying to manipulate somebody by doing that so you can get a praise or a compliment. But really, if you're really doing that, and I don't know if you are or aren't, that's a sign of pride. The clothes that we wear, we try to dress to draw attention to ourselves. We shouldn't dress to draw attention to ourselves in a wrong way. That can be pride. We should try to dress to please the Lord. I mentioned I was in court. I'll be in court in the next several weeks. But the girl there says, listen, we're really laid back here. You dress any way you want to dress. If you want to wear sweatpants, wear them. If you want to bring your pajamas in, wear them. If you want, I'm thinking, well, that's not really what we want to do at church. But it was kind of some of the stuff she was saying today was the opposite. It's if you want to bring coffee in, snacks. I don't know, you're sitting in court snacking? That just doesn't seem right to me. But I did bring a cup of coffee, and I will have to admit that. She said we could, so I did. I took advantage. But you're sitting there for, I think, 9 in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon or something. So, you know, you got by 2 o'clock in the afternoon when you're trying to do the head bob thing. You're trying to stay awake. So you got to have something to keep your head up. You shouldn't dress to pay to draw attention. The next one is we love the most prominent places. We want to be seen with how wonderful we are. Those are all signs of pride. Another one is this, ignoring those who are less fortunate than you are. Not everybody has it as good as everybody else. But I have seen this in our church. I hate to say that. Somebody comes in who's a little bit less fortunate, and people don't all, let me rephrase that. Not everybody wants to minister to them. Minister to them. Be a blessing to them. You don't have to ignore those that are less fortunate than you are. How did Jesus treat those kind of people? With love and compassion. We've read that story in John 4 multiple times. With love and compassion. The Pharisees, we have some of those too. He called them snakes. Vipers, I mean, he was on them. They were full of pride. When there's somebody here who's less fortunate than us, let's just be sure we minister to them. Another thing that's a thing of pride, a rebellious spirit. There's things you know you should do, you're not going to do them. There's things you know you shouldn't do, and you're going to do that. That's a rebellious spirit. I mentioned prayerlessness. A prideful person doesn't seek God, doesn't think of God. He thinks that his possessions will last forever. I've got references to a lot of these, but I'm not giving you them. He honors those who honor him. Pride. prideful person refuses the menial task. There's a menial task that needs to be done. You can do it. God sees those who park cars and shovel snow. We get there and we're ready to drop our car off and let somebody do it. We'd never even think about maybe a job like that. I'm too good for that. Tell me one task that you're too important for. Remember the illustration we used Sunday morning? It was Sunday morning or Sunday night. No, I didn't preach Sunday night, so it had to be Sunday morning. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, he didn't think he was beyond that. And if he could lower himself to do that, we better realize that we're not too good to do any menial task. We are not better than anybody else. Here's another indicator of pride. When it is difficult for you to be pleased with the success of somebody else, you should rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Now, we should be glad for people. I started to say something about the election, but I'll save that for later. We should be glad for people who succeed. We should be glad for people who get honored when we don't. We should be glad for people who get rewarded for something and we don't get rewarded for the same thing. We should be glad for them. And we shouldn't have to say this. They did a good job, but they could have done this better or that better or the other thing better. That can be a sign of pride. Another thing that's a sign of pride is this. They can't say, I was wrong, apologize, and ask for forgiveness. They just can't say that. They have an attitude of self-suffering. Oh, I sure put up with a lot. I'll tell you, nobody's got it worse than me. They have that attitude. You know that's a sign of pride. Another thing is they can't take criticism. We all need criticism once in a while because none of us are right all the time. What did I write there? Oh, here's my last one. When you desire to be treated as you're just somebody special. Now, your spouse ought to treat you as somebody special. But you shouldn't think of yourself as really somebody special. Let the Lord take care of that. So those are all the characteristics of it, and I don't know how many that was, but it was a lot of them. Next week I'm going to finish with this, is how do I deal with pride in my life? And my list isn't quite so long on that one. But how do I deal with it? Well, let's pray. Father in heaven, we know you hate pride. And as we briefly go through those characteristics of a prideful person, we have to examine our own heart and examine our own life to see if we don't have pride in us. Lord, I pray that we would win victory over it, if we do have it. And Lord, that we would seek your face and acknowledge you for all the good things that you bring into our life. It's certainly something you hate, that goes without saying. It is certainly the way we are most like the enemy. And we need to have it out of our lives. Help us to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.